like to learn together, Mirta Hashem, today a medrash, which is found mamish at the beginning of Parshat Toldos. Pasuk begins, the first pasuk, Ve'elu Toldos Yitzchak ben Avram. These are the generations, the descendants of Yitzchak, the son of Ram. And then it repeats, Avram related to Yitzchak. Avram gave birth to Yitzchak. And the obvious question is, a lot of questions on the pasuk, but a very obvious question is the repetition in the pasuk. If you're going to tell me that Yitzchak is the son of Avraham, why do you need to repeat Avram holidat Yitzchak, that Avram gave birth to Yitzchak? It's on this question that Rashi brings down the following medrash. And it's this medrash that I'd like to learn Mirtz Hashem together. Rashi notes that the cynics of generation, the late Sanei Hador in Source 3, contended that Sarah conceived from Avimelech on the night he kidnapped her. After all, they reasoned, she had lived with Avram for many decades and had no children. And lo and behold, shortly after the incident with Avimelech, she gave birth to Yitzchak. To refute their claim, Hashem fashioned Yitzchak to look remarkably like Avraham. It was therefore obvious to anyone who saw Yitzchak that Avram begot Yitzchak, which is why the Torah adds that phrase. When we take a look at this medrash, we have to obviously ask a number of questions. Question number one, which the Zvira Kadsho brings from the Griz Zatzal, is Arei Harei Ikar HaNeis Hayayim Sarah. We know the major miracle was with the fact with Sarah. Avram had a child already. It wasn't a miracle. I could understand if Avram never had a child, though suddenly Sarah became pregnant, right? You would say, okay, maybe it was Avimelech gave birth, to, you know, was the father. But here, Avram had Yishmael already. The miracle is on Sarah. So what is going on here? Like, who would even believe that it was Avimelech who gave birth, you know, to Yitzchak Avinu and not Avram Avinu? What were they trying to achieve in this cockamamie story? Like, who would even believe such a story? Why was even such a story concocted? And why is it specifically the language of the Medrash Leit Sonei Hador and not Rishei Hador? It would seem like the wicked people of the generation are the ones who made up this story. And obviously, if there's a story made up, there must be a reason why they're making it up. What's the reason behind this? Further, the Datrada asks in Source 6, we know that everyone knows the truth. Why is the Chumash going out of its way to add three more words based on this medrash? Avram holidat Yitzchak. Avram gave birth to Yitzchak. We all know it's that Avram gave birth to Yitzchak. Why was there a miracle necessary according to the medrash that they had a look-alike? And the Chumash, which is so careful about every word that it says, here the Chumash is adding three extra words, Avram holidat Yitzchak, in order to completely make sure that there is no belief in any of these cynics. Why is the Chumash, why is the Torah going out of its way to be so concerned about these cynics? This question is further buttressed by what we learned in Parshat Bereishit, that when it said, Na'asa Adam, let us make man, instead of Esa Adam, the singular, we say we're not worried about the epikarsim, we're not worried about the people who don't believe, there's a lesson to learn. So he, in that case, we're not worried about the epikarsim. Here, suddenly, we're worried about the Litzanei Ador, worried about the scoffers, since when do we take the scoffers into any type of account? And further, and this will be the question we'll answer first, very briefly, notes of Phil's Bavavam, if this is indeed what they were saying, why is it brought here? Now Yitzchak Avinu is getting married, he's having children. Should this not be, when Yitzchak Avinu is born, that it should have this repetition to show that when he's born, that indeed he is Avraham Avinu's child? These questions, we will see, are going to form for us such a yesod, such a fundamental principle in terms of Avodas Hashem, in terms of really our Hashkafas HaChayim. Let's answer the first question first. Why is it here? So Mesillas Bavavam brings in 7a and 7b, both the Klal Yikar as well as the Ashech HaKadosh, who explain the following. When Yitzchak Avinu was born, everyone at that time understood the greatness of Avraham Avinu and Sarai Menu, and there was no doubt that they were the parents of this child. And the late Sanei Hador, the scoffers, you know, were scoffing, but people didn't really pay much attention to it. However, now, Achatan, the bracket in 7b, Birotam Kinolad Esav Merivka Elo told us Yitzchak. Now we're talking about the offspring of Yitzchak, and we see that Esav was born, Velo Mishivchak Yishmael Mahagar, and Esav doesn't come from a Shivcha maidservant like Hagar, Rak Mishto Tzadeket, but rather from his wife, who's a pious woman. now the Leitzanei Hador return back, and they say, you see, obviously if Yitzhak Avinu is going to have a child like Esav, it must be that there is, in the family, genes that must be from Avimelech. And now they come back to their original, you know, accusation, original Leitzanos, when they see that an Esav is born. The fact that we know that Rivka Imenu didn't come from such great lineage, they completely ignore. And we just focus in on what they want to say. And that's why it's found here, because only now do the Leitzanei Hador, do these scoffers feel like they have any hold in their scoffing. And this is the ikur here of what this Medrash is teaching us. It's found in the answer of the Gris, the Dvir Kacho brings down. Here's the Yesod that he formulates, and I'd like to take a look at this Yesod on two levels and really bring it down to our lives before looking at some other areas that we can glean from the language of this Medrash. And he says, V'im kein acharei shivtiach Kodesh Baruch Hu la'Avram u'Sara she'elam ben biyachad. Kodesh Baruch Hu made a promise that Avraham Avinu is going to have a child from Sarah Imenu, right? For Smila, gives his promise to Avraham Avinu. Neishu re'yal mitziyuto yitparashit kiyayim havtachato. This neish is a raya, is a proof that Kodesh Baruch Hu exists, and he's keeping his promise. Va'al zol ratzu letzanei hador litzcho. That's what they were making fun of. Al ha'neish, on the miracle. That was, we asked, what was the reason they're making with Leitzanos? Like, mockery doesn't come out of nowhere. Mockery is usually some type of psychological defense mechanism to block a person from doing what they know they should get done. Here, the Leitzanei Hador clearly recognized it was a miracle. You couldn't deny it, right? This woman had this child, as Rabbi Fram brings in source 8. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu had her nurse all the other, you know, babies to show clearly this wasn't an adapted child. This was clear for everybody it was a miracle. That they could deny. But if indeed it was a miracle and Hashem's promise came true, then that would necessitate on them an awakening. It would necessitate from them to change their ways and to follow Avraham and Sarah and to believe in monotheism. V'ulam enenu neis hamorel kiyum avtechato shel Kodesh Baruch Hu. V'lachein tzar Kodesh Baruch Hu klaster panav shiyitmeh la'Avraham Aviv la'rod k'hu ben shel Avraham and Sarah k'mo shiyivtiach lahem. That's why, if they could come along and say, granted, Sarah Imenu had a child. But it's not as Hashem promised, because Hashem promised it would come from Avraham, and you see that it came from Avimelech. So it wasn't as great as a miracle as you thought. That cynicism was in order to dispel the haftacha, the promise that Kodesh Baruch Hu made to Avraham and Sarah. There was no one denying that there was a miracle. But the neis mechayev otam, but this miracle would mean that they have to go in the way of Avraham Avinu. And that is what they didn't want to do. It's not Rishay Hador, because Rishayim couldn't deny, the wicked people couldn't deny that miracle happened. Who could deny it? The Leitzanim, the scoffers. My friends, we see here in this answer that the scoffers came in order to dispel this feeling of, wow, God makes a promise, it comes true, in order for them not to have to follow along with the upshot of that conclusion, hey, you know what, there's something here. That Yesod is a lesson for us on two levels. And I want to look at both levels, because I think both of them are very practical for us. The first is that my friend has a whole piece in the Sefer Listen to Your Messages about cynicism. And I want to highlight one or two nekudos. He says, Rav Huttner contends, source 10, that the struggle between cynicism forms the paradigm of the epic battle between the Jewish people and Amalek. Amalek's attack on Jewish people is far more than a military confrontation between two nations. It was far more than just a battle of swords and chariots, of guns and tanks. The battle between Jewish people and Amalek centered on the very issue of cynicism. There is a powerful tendency in human nature, of Huttner writes, a veritable passion to degenerate, to mock, to tear down, to eliminate others. There's a tendency to take that which is noble, important, and holy, and to find within it the little hair-like crack, which can be used to bring down the entire edifice tumbling down. It's a particularly virulent form of the Yetzirah. And we know people have Yetzirah for money, people have a Yetzirah for pleasure, for forbidden things, and they also have a Yetzirah to destroy other people, to be cynical, to put people down, to ridicule all that's important and holy. The nation of Amalek personifies this tendency. When the Jewish people came forth from Egypt, the people stood in awe of them. Wow, there's no one like the Jewish people. Amalek coming, it wasn't for territory, right there in the middle of the desert. Why is Amalek trying to come and destroy the people? Have you ever thought about what's the reason? And the reason is very simple. We want to show that the Jewish people are mortal after all. They don't have to be held in awe and reverence. You know, it's like that CNN, which I happened to see being in the airport this past week, their caption of, you know, are Jews really human? And I'm like looking at this and I'm saying, I must be really jet lagged that I'm not reading this right. And then I saw on HAP that indeed this was, you know, contended. Like, this is life, to put down the Jews. Like, you know, are Jews really this great? Nah, who even knows if they're really human? This is the leitzonos, the cynicism, the hatred of all generation. How do we understand this Yetzirah? We can understand why people want money. We can understand why people want honor. We can understand why people want pleasure. Why would people want to destroy others? Why would people want to tear down whatever is good, holy, important, serious, and worthwhile in this world? And here's the key, my friends, and we have to be honest with ourselves, and honestly sometimes hurt. 12, because it's because cynicism, perhaps, it's because cynicism liberates. It's because cynicism emancipates. If there's nothing worthy and important in this world, we are free to do as we please. If there are no higher standards, we can do whatever our fancy and impulses take us. If the citadels of holiness can be ripped down, we are released from personal responsibility. This is what Amalek is all about. Lefutna puts in his inimitable fashion, Amalek represents the Koach HaChilul, which is the opposite of Koach HaHilul. Koach HaChilul is taking that which is holy and making it profane. That's Amalek. Koach HaHilul is being able to take that which is profane and make it holy and praise God. Amalek is someone that stands for despising for anything that is pure, holy, worthwhile in this world. It's antithesis of the Jew. But notes Rav Hutner, there's a little bit of Amalek in each one of us. And that is why we have an inclination to be cynical, to mock, and to destroy. When we have the mitzvah of remembering Amalek, we door to door from generation to generation, it's not just the nation of Amalek we have to remember. When we say Machotim Chet Zecher Amalek, we have to destroy all of Amalek. It's not just the nation of Amalek. We don't even know who is Amalek today. It's destroying something much more profound within us. It's that quality of Amalek. Amalek is described as below Yari Elohim. They didn't fear God. You know what fearing God is about? Fearing God is about recognizing there are things that are holy, recognizing the things that are of importance in this world. Amalek destroys all that. Oh, you think this is so great? Amalek are the types of people who, after the Rav's drasha, will come home and sit at the Shabbos table and tear down what the rabbi said. Oh, he thinks that he knows what he's talking about. And they'll find one small thing that made no sense and tear down the entire Rav's speech. That's the Amalek in us. That's the part of us that says, if the Rav is right, then I have to listen to what he says. I have to listen to his rebuke. I have to listen to his mussar. I have to become a better person. But that's going to take me out of my comfort zone. I don't want that. Let me tear down the rope. Let me mock. And that way I can be safe. And I can live a life of liberation, of freedom, not a life of holiness and building. Rabbi Jung, in the Sefer Apples from the Tree, speaks about a whole chapter on the impact of leitzonos, of scoffing on children. And he says in 15, when a person is in the habit of scoffing, the Maharal says, there's no end to it. Innocent laughter provides light relief, but scoffing at others accustoms us to devalue the important things in life. Scoffing can become a habit that embeds itself within one's character, and we cannot escape its pernicious influence. And here he gives two or three examples. Example one. Moshe knows that whenever Meshulach, a collector, comes to his house, he will hear his parents make one or two disparaging comments behind his back. He himself begins to think of them as schnorrers, beggars, not as worthy representatives of important institutions, or raising funds for good causes. Moshe learns to trivialize this type of stuck-up. And we can hear this. Oh, no. Another schnorrer's at the door. Could you just get the door, please? There's another schnorrer there. Moshe, could you just deal with the schnorrer? How's he going to learn to give stucca? How's he going to learn to treat people with the respect that they deserve? That is an important question. 16. How is Chani going to keep high standards of kashrus when she's older? If she hears her parents ridiculing those who are careful about checking for insects in the fruit and vegetables they eat, in order to justify their own laxity in such things, perhaps they say that those who are strict have excessive chumros, create unnecessary difficulties for themselves. Parents who speak disrespectfully about Talmidei Chachamim, calling them only by their last names in conversations, for instance, are undermining the dignity of Torah. Calling teachers by their last name without a proper title also sows the seeds of disdain in children. Similarly, ridiculing the study of certain subjects will make those subjects seem irrelevant to children, so they will not make an effort to study them. Rabosai, the list goes on and on. When we constantly put down teachers, we say, oh, what does that teacher know anyway? Oh, where did they get a degree from? Oh, I wonder why they're even teaching. They should be a shoemaker. Is there any reason your child should then respect that teacher? And again, my friends, we think it's a casual remark. We think it's a cute remark. Sometimes we think we're being witty and funny. We're tearing down. And we're tearing down not only our own Yiddishkeit, we're tearing down our children's Yiddishkeit, we're tearing down the way they view Talmidei Chachamim, we're tearing down the way they view the very, very holy people, very special people. Rabosai, when we're talking about this Medrash, it's not just that the Medrash is talking about the scoffers in the time of Avraham Avinu, who said, you know, that Avimelech is the father of the child. Why the Medrash is coming here is to teach us a lesson about what the power of scoffing has. Why did they say that? In order to protect themselves from having to follow Avraham Avinu. You see, the Avtacha, the promise, came true. Now look in the mirror for ourselves. What are we trying to protect ourselves from? Let us catch ourselves from making these cynical, off-the-cuff remarks. What effect it has on us? What effect it has on our children? Why is it that we're so afraid to grow? Why is it that we're so afraid to move forward? And indeed, to ask ourselves honestly, why are we here? But my friend notes at the end of this essay, in the Listen to Your Messages, he says, perhaps one of the ways that we can work on ourselves is the key to overcoming cynicism. We have to develop the habit of being positive instead of negative, of seeing the good instead of the bad. We have to raise our consciousness. We have to be able to be on the lookout for all the positive things and be very careful about those small, almost involuntary comments that come out of our lives. We want our children to blossom into kind-hearted and enthusiastic people who we really want them, and they have the potential to be. So that's one upshot of this idea of the Dvir Kachel, how important it is that we catch ourselves and our own cynicism, and the Medrash is speaking to each and every one of us, and we know exactly what it's talking about. The other upshot is, I think, found also with a very fundamental idea in Rav Kofa Mishchat Shemen. And again, he brings the same idea. We're in source 18. Hare l'loshum safek haitasham hidaruk dola lamin kisha lukim barat. Can you imagine 100 years old, 90 years old, they have a child? Wow! There must have been such a yisoro, such an awakening that God is in this world. Ubelev hamon anashim nechnasad. He wrote yisoro shuvah. So many people probably said, wow, let's change. Let's become better people. Let's improve our ways. Let's become like Avraham Avinu. It probably was an amazing effect that this had. And this is why these late sonim came. Late sonim Hador in 19, Hare Ratzu Birishatam Levatel Hitaruta. What they were trying to do was to dispel this, right? You know, it's the one kid in the class who after everyone's like, wow, and the one kid makes this wisecrack and it's just like popping a balloon. it takes the air out of everything. Lachin bo v'amru mavi melech di debrat sara ve'en li tolta devar b'sidkot tel shalav ravino. It's nothing to do with the sidkot, the righteousness of av ravino. Ma'atayim ha'kom li saros l'tshuva. There's no need, there's no room for do a saros for tshuva. Good, that's what we saw. Here, Mesilth of the Mishkat Shemin, Rav Kaufman says a second upshot for our lives. And he says in 20, listen closely. Sha'af ki baruch Hashem, even though we, Baruch Hashem, omdim matzav shef, keinenu omdim matzav shefel mekukal kamohen. Okay, let's argue we're not scoffers. Let's say that this is not our problem. We're not on their low life level like them. He says, nevertheless, ach bechozot, there's something we can learn. Lefamim mistamein lanu lamod b'matzav sheyesh bo lashpi aleinu l'tov. We're in the bracket of 20. Sometimes we are surrounded by, we are exposed to something that could really inspire us and influence us for the good. Like we hear stories and we read stories of the tzaddikim. Imim ma'aseim atovim, whether they're good deeds, or ma'atom aftim shashem yibarachu sayeta, or miracles that happen through them, or we learn sifrei musar v'chassidus hakdoshim, harei kol ma'atartam ilavit arvud ha'leiv. When we read svarim like this, whether stories or books like this, it should bring an awakening in our heart, v'itromimut ha'nefesh l'kiras elokim, an awakening to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vim Kol said, what happens nevertheless? Gamachar Shanu Oskim Sha'ud Avukol B'limud HaSfarim HaKadoshim. We could be telling bedtime stories to our children. We could be learning these Sfarim. You know what? We're the same person. It makes very little long-term impact on us. V'yashpia malach ha'yinu shalchol pachol nir sevel shanom ma'aseinu. You would hope that on some level it would make some impact on us that we should change. And that we should have some relationship, some connection with what we learn. But we don't find this. Listen closely, my friends. I think that this is one of the challenges all of us have. The Mishkat Shemin is saying, well, you know we learn from this Medrash? That when you have a hisaurus, you have an awakening, the responsible response is, wow, that's an amazing thing that happened. There must be some truth here. There must be some godless here. I would like to learn from this. I'd like to grow from this. I'd like to become a changed person as a result of this. But we don't. And we go on with our lives. We say, wow, what an amazing story. Fighter. Vayasoda ikari liskol madrega zuhi. Well, then how do we become influenced by what we see or by what we read? He says, you have to prepare yourself beforehand. The Haina, which means, before you go hear stories, before you open a book, you have to open your heart and say, you know what? This is going to be a moment that can impact me, moments that will influence me. Hashem, help me be able to take something from what I learn and be able to implement it. Let me not be like a kemaisa kof ba'alma, like a monkey, just sitting there without any thought, without paying any attention, and without gaining and learning from anything. This is our challenge, and this is the greatest gift we can give to ourselves, to have this awakening, to have this being able to introspect and be able to take it with us. You know, as an example of this, my friends, there's a new sefer, and I believe she's coming to New York this week, Parshas Toldos, Sar Yocheved Rigler, Emuna with Love and Chicken Soup. This is the story of Rabbi Sanheni Machlis, the Brooklyn-born girl who became a Jerusalem legend. This sefer, which I highly recommend, is, I think, to a certain degree, what Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, Rosh Yeshiva of Mir, was for the men, that this woman, Rabbi Sanheni Machlis, is for women, as well as for men as well. And that is how a person who was born in very similar situations, like myself and many others, went to Central and was born in Brooklyn and, you know, had a New York upbringing, could become somebody who was greater than life, become somebody whose emuna and chesed and haknasat orchim was legendary. And to read a sefer like this, you know, like you read Rebbe Tzvi, you say, you know, she's the wife of the Gadol Dor, and she was the daughter of a Gadol Dor, so what do you expect? When you read a Sefer like this, you say, you know what? There's no reason why it can't be me. But we have to open ourselves up to it. And when I read these stories, I say, okay, maybe I can't open my home for 150 people every Shabbos. But what can I take from this? So, for example, there's most of the Sefer is letters and anecdotes that people tell. And it's not one person, it's not two people, it's hundreds of people. We just show you the impact of this one individual, which also is a lesson for us how we can impact so many. So one young man describes how he's at the Machlis's one Friday night, and he says that there was mamish no room, like you couldn't even move your elbows, like it was really squished. And right before they're ready to start the meal, there's a knock at the door, and somebody's standing there saying, do you have any room for any more? And their response was, sure, we have plenty of room. And he's thinking, plenty of room? There's no room to breathe. What do you mean, plenty of room? And 50 people come into the house. And Rabbi Machlis says, you know, these 50 people, it's not only my mitzvah, it's all of your mitzvah. And they then resettle outside and set up tables and chairs, and there's, you know, plenty to go around. Okay. I grant you, 50 people coming to our door, maybe mugzam, maybe a little bit, not realistic. But if somebody does knock at our door, or somebody does call us Erev Shabbos, can you have two or three more people? What's our response? Are we able to open our hearts and learn from this Sefer, you know? Let me extend myself a little bit beyond, even when it's uncomfortable, even if it means putting together last minute another salad or something else, or being able, whatever it is, to be a little bit creative with the food. But I'm ready to open my home and I'm ready to open my heart. Or whether it's, you read in the Sefer how they had people who, you know, the kids would say, you know, there's like a strange person or something. And the parents would always say, don't call them strange, they're a Jew. They're one of us, they're Hashem's children. Do we look at everyone who comes across our path as Hashem's children? Reading the Sefer, can we extend ourselves out to that poor, quote-unquote, in our eyes, Nebuch, who never has a place to go? Can we make them part of our family, the widow, the or whatever it is? Reading a Sefer like this isn't just saying, oh, wow, what a wonderful woman. But we have to open our hearts to see how we can learn from this. And further than that, my friends, Source 24, he says, "V'emeshi shelo rak l'abei his'orus l'tshuva v'avodat Hashem nitzrach ma'adam simalei v'achana nafshi." It's not only opening up our heart before we read and we learn something to see how we can implement it. Ella rather shall kol tzad v'shal at every step of our lives. U'bechol prat u'prat mimalach ha'chaim in every part of our life. Suma alav lichyot mitok suma slave. We have to live with awareness. U'bechol rega v'rega mechuyav liyot er u'miyudal u'mitzius hamuna v'ashkocha prati. We have to live a life that we're open, we're aware, we're conscious, we see, we feel the ashkocha prati, the divine providence in every single thing that happens in our lives. Sharia Isha Yisraeli HaMaimim Bashem, a Jew who really believes, has to believe with emunah muhashit, with a real life that you can touch emunah in Ashkocha Proti. L'tzirat chayim kazo yishar l'kiyarak v'stima thleib t'midis l'osek ha'kol merav ha'chayim ha'pratim v'kol nasib olam ha'gadol. And this can only happen when you really believe that Kadosh Baruch Hu is with you at every step. As the Chazon Ish once said, you have to believe that the fly that comes into the room is landing exactly where it's landing and is bothering you for exactly as long as it's bothering you, because this is exactly what Hashem wants. Like the fires of the last week, Shem Yishmor, that those winds, those fires, every single tree, every single house, it is determined from above. Nothing is by accident. And that's how we have to be able to look at our lives. It's about being an open kli, an open vessel. If you're so full of yourself, you can't see God, you can't grow, you can't learn, you can't read a Sefer and be changed. But if you're open, if you realize that I'm here as life, I call life as a laboratory. It's here for me to experiment, it's here for me to learn, and it's here for me to recognize that Hashem is with me at every step of the way. You know, I'll share personally, I was in, as I mentioned, I was in the States last week, 2 weeks ago, and I happened to be in a certain city that I'd never been in before, and I stayed at somebody's home who I knew very peripherally. And v'chasdei Hashem, I had to deal with a certain impersonal nisayon while there, and it was amazing how Kadosh Baruch Hu mamish put me in the right person's house to give me the chizuk and the derech and the path and the people to be able to help me maneuver through all the different challenges that I had to deal with. And it was so clear to me. My friend, when I came back, said, like, how did you manage? You were away. And I said to her, Hashem sent you the exact people at the exact time that you need it. And there's nothing by accident. And I said to my friend, the entire time that I was there, I kept saying to myself, wasn't Baruch Hashem a major nisyonos, challenges are challenges, right? Having a long-term effect, these challenges, some of them. I said, what came through my mind is what we say every morning in davening. We say, Hanotein Shelech Katsoneh, Hashem who gives the snow like the wool, Kifur Ka'efer Yifazer, the cold like the ashes. And the Sfarim explained, the Hasidic Sfarim, that Hashem will give you the amount of cold only to the amount of warmth that you have, that you'll be able to handle the cold. He'll give you the amount of snow that you have to the wool to keep you warm. Not an iota more, an iota less. Whatever situation you're in, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if we open our eyes, gives us the ability to handle this. And when I shared this vort over with the Mashpia, the Rav, talking about, you know, Eitza, he said to me, you know, one more thing, Shira, he said, that when it snows, Hashem has one snowflake come down at a time, and each snowflake is very soft. It's not like, you know, a blizzard of snow that's too heavy, that's going to overwhelm us. And that's what life is about, one snowflake at a time. Hanotein Shelech Katsamir. It's being able to see the Hashkacha, the Amuna with the chicken soup. That's the motto. And we know, in 26, Rat Ve'ofen She'akisha L'limud O Hashmiya Mitoch HaChada Nafshi, only when you approach life and what we learn with this awakening, with this understanding, U'matara She'limud HaFeh Yevi'elu To'elef Yitrom Ruchani, that is going to allow me to grow, then I'm able, Lis'oreel L'tshuva, then I'm able to come closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what life is all about. And indeed he gives a Gevaldik Vor from the Imre Emes of Gur, who says that when a person has a moment of his Isoverus, it's like he is Yodea Ribona. He knows a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And if you don't utilize this correctly in 27, then maybe, Rachmana Litzlan, you're under the category of Ribona, Yodea Ribona, Umiskaven Limrodbo, and you have an intent to go against him, to rebel against him. If Hashem is going to give you this awakening, we need to respond to this awakening. And that's why we say the Pasuk in Tehillim. We say, U'betorato yege yomam v'layla. First it's Torah, Hashem, and then it's Torah, so it's your Torah. The Torah that we have to be involved in, this is such a yisod, this is what this Medrash is teaching us, has to be ours. We have to be personally affected by what we learn. And you know how you know if you're affected by what you learn? If after you hear, or you read, or you hear a shir, you get up and you change, and you do something, albeit something small. You finished listening to the shir, now what? How do you then able to implement this into your life? Then you know it's b'taraso, then you know it's your Torah. Otherwise, you're just like a tape recorder. You're listening, you're taking in, and you're able to spit back, but it makes no emotional effect on you. This is what this Rashi is saying. The people were, you know, take it. And the late Sunning were afraid of this. Halavai, we should be on this level that we should be taken. Let us not be like the late Sunning who are so afraid to change, so afraid. One way to block ourselves is late Sunnos, is scoffing. Another way to block ourselves is not being open, not being that clean, that empty vessel to say, how can I change? And this is Chad in 30. In the famous pasuk, we say in Kapitel Lamed Aleph of Tehillim, "Lechu banim shimu li yiras Hashem alamdechem." Go, my sons, and listen to me, and the fear of God I will teach you. And the obvious question is, why does it say "Lechu banim shimu li"? Go, my son. It should say "Bo banim." Come, my son. We're not going anywhere. We're coming. Come to me. Let me teach you Torah. Right? I'll say to my students, you know, they walk in. I say, okay, now leave. What's Pshat? Leave, come. What is Lahu Banim Shimuli? So he says, how do you know if what you taught really makes an impression? Aval im gam kishochim etlo mamshichim li naik biyuras Hashem. When they leave, are they still holding on to the awe of Hashem? He names this siman, zehu siman shibishashla yu etlo limdam be'emetz yuras Hashem. You know what the real litmus test is? If you're successful in teaching, if the shir is successful, if the sefer is successful, not while they're sitting there. While they're sitting there, and they may be listening. When you leave, then yiras Hashem alav dechem. Is that all that yiras Hashem that have taught you? Has it been part and parcel of who you are? That's the real litmus test to see if you've really taken in what you've been taught. Rav Biederman brings the great Maisa, the Hasidic Rebbe, who was invited to give a shmooze at a certain shul. The Nechbadei Ha'ir, the important people of the city, came to take the Rav from the place he was staying and walk him to the shul. A few meters from the shul, he stopped, and they say to Rebbe, is everything okay? He looks for a moment, and he stares at the shul, and he says, I feel that this shul is filled with Yiras Shamayim, awe of heaven, filled with Limud Torah, filled with Torah learning, filled with shmiras of mitzvahs, filled with keeping mitzvahs. They said, great, I'm happy to hear it, you know, it's a real compliment. And they move a little bit further, and the Rebbe again stops. And they said, Rebbe, is everything okay? You told us this is a shul full of Yiras Shamayim, Limud Torah, shmiras of mitzvahs, what's wrong? The Rebbe said, I'll tell you what's wrong. The shul is filled with the Yiras Shamayim, Limud Torah, and shmiras of mitzvahs. The problem is, people then leave it in shul. They don't take it home with them. It's all in the shul, not with the people. L'chu banim shimuli yiras Hashem alam dechem. That's the challenge, my friends. We all living in an age where you're the press of a button, you can get a shir wherever you are. On El Al, you can download shirim wherever you are. How much of these shirim become part of us? L'chu banim. That's the challenge. And that's that scoffing. Perhaps it's not in a cynical way. Perhaps it's just in a way of not being open and ready to grow, that I have the barriers up. Oh, I learned a tremendous amount. I can repeat back. But to impact, to change, to be able to bring those people into my home, to be able to take it to that next level, to be able to move out of my comfort zone, to be able to grow, whoa, that's a separate story. And that's what the Medrash is teaching us. Three words, Avram Holid et Yitzchak. Avram gave birth to Yitzchak, it was a miracle. And if we're repeating this to show you that that miracle then necessitates at that time for change to happen, and Bisman Hazeh, not only by Yamim Ahem, Basman Hazeh. Now, when we read such a miracle, you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a promise. There's a Kiyum HaAvtacha. There's a fulfillment of the promise. Now what? You read Avram Holid et Yitzchak and Avram Avinu et Yitzchak at this age. Do you read it and you say, well, I knew that from kindergarten? Do you say, wow, Hashem promised and He came through? My life has to be dedicated further. I have to be inspired. I have to grow. That's the challenge. That's the call from us. And that's in the end of 31, in summation, the kasher yichyeh b'tzurah hazot. And if you live in such a way, hinei b'chol pam sheyizkeh l'hizgalus v'arah min hashamayim, anytime you're inspired, you read something inspirational, you hear something inspirational, yuchal yisor v'lakach v'yizeh lekach musar, you can learn a lesson. You can improve your ways to go in the way of Torah, of HaMitzvos, of HaMekubeleh, Lifnei Hashem Tamid, and constantly be growing in your Avodas Hashem. Wow. If that's probably the simplest level of understanding this Medrash, we then still need to deal with Chumash had to go out of its way to teach us this. On one hand, the answer is yes. But that Traga argues even further. He says that the Torah in Source 33 is a Torah of MS, a Torah of truth. And we don't want to have any type of sheker, any type of falsehood whatsoever. The Zehu Kocha Shaleitzanu Shafal Sheker Galui Lakol Yeshlet Sanu Smokol. And we're afraid of that, you know, this Leitzanus, this mockery may make an impression. And therefore the Torah goes out of its way to say, no, there is no such thing. Lishlol at Divrehem. Because the Torah is a Torah MS, the Torah of truth. And that's why the Torah, he says, mentions Kachatzot HaLayla, like at midnight, will be Makas B'chorot, the death of the firstborn, not Chatzot HaLayla, Kachatzot, like midnight. So that nobody should say, oh, it wasn't the exact time. The Torah likes to be as truthful as possible. If this is true, so ask the Birkatz Mordechai, well, hold on a second. If the Torah likes to be a Torah of truth, and it's emphasizing this to show you what the emes, what the truth is, so then why do we have our original question by Bria Sa'olam, Nasa Adam, let us make man, not Esa Adam. The Torah should be writing the truth. Hashem is singular. So he answers by Nasa Adam, as we saw, that it's there to teach us a lesson. We learn something very fundamental by Nasa Adam, that Hashem is teaching us how we have to have humility, how we have to speak to the angels and learn from them. Great. So there is a point to learn Nasa Adam. Here, we don't gain anything by the scoffing, and therefore it's very important to have the Torah mention that Avram Elita Yitzchak. But there's a different idea as well. And he says, Lanus 19 Miret 34 in the middle, Kiavdela Cherhu. There's another difference. Havdel ben Chashash Apikorsus leben Chashash Pigiab Avravino. There, we were afraid of maybe the Apikorsi, maybe the heretics will say, you know what, there's more than one deity. Here, we're afraid of hurting somebody's feelings. Gam im ach letzenei ador hem elu hamalizim, gam im lo yamim lamish, even if no one will believe them. Nevertheless, if you can take away some pain of a person, then it's worth doing a miracle to make father and son look alike, and to add words in the Torah. What is so important here? That here, what is at stake is not heretics. What's at stake here is making fun and mocking a great person. If Avraham Avinu and Sarai Imenu are going to suffer because of this, then we'll do whatever we can to take away their suffering. And we hachazehirus mipnei ben adam l'chaveru shoveh hilako. This is the lesson we learned from this medrash. V'adam b'malchav chayav l'datzo. We need to know how careful we need to be, and whatever we can do to take away the pain, the humiliation of somebody else. Ki chova alav l'asod hakol l'shanot tochnit af l'spol chas v'sholom hasegim l'mineihem. We could lose out. Ubilvad shelo tifka dmur chaveiro, so it's order not to hurt our friend in any way. Ein davar homei bifnei haben adam l'chaveiro, nothing stands in the way between ben adam l'chaveiro. Rav Freifeld in 35 and 30b brings us, A and B, brings a story of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, who spent 2 hours speaking to a regular shoemaker, right? 2 hours that he could have been learning, in order to alleviate his troubles, to listen to somebody who's in pain. How careful we have to be with the honor of every single person. Let me share with you a story that I just read this Shabbos in Rav Biederman. A Gevaltic story. It's exactly this Nakuta. And this is, again, a story not just for storytelling purposes. It's a story to learn from. Rav Biederman tells a story that just happened this summer. Menachem Av. Where a fellow from Israel rents out some place, some like hotel-like in France, where he kashers a kitchen, he rents out rooms, and it becomes like a hotel for people. His brother has a similar setup in a different part of France. There was a fellow that came, who they describe Rav Biederman describes as like a Nebuch fellow, not dressed properly, you could smell him miles away. And he goes to the brother in the city, right, not the one from Israel, the one in France itself. And he asked to check into a hotel. Somebody had paid that he should have a week vacation. The guy takes one look at him and says, oh my, if I have in my hotel, the people aren't going to stay here. They're going to say, you have people like this at your hotel, people who smell, people who look like this. And he says to the guy, oh, I'm so sorry, it's such a busy time now, I have no rooms. Why don't you go to my brother on the other end of the place, of France, I'm sure he has room. And he traveled to the other end, losing one night of his week vacation, and he goes to his brother. And his brother had the same reaction. Oh, I'm so sorry, it seems like we managed to have no room. Really sorry that you came at this time. Again, with that fear of what are people going to say. So this fellow from Eretz Yisrael, who was renting out this hotel, had a 17-year-old son. How's a 17-year-old son? Who was listening to this and watching what was going on, and he said quietly to his father, Abba, he is a child of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's Hashem's child. You can't treat him this way. It's exactly what we're talking about. You have to go out of your way. It doesn't matter if you lose customers. You have to take care of every single human being. So the father is convinced, and he says, oh, we found you a room, and he gives him a room. Then when it came time to eating, he says to this fellow, you know, our dining room is really full. I'll have you eat 3 meals a day, but I'll have you eat with the server staff. And his son again came to him and said, Abba, that's not the way you treat a child of God. A child of God should be treated like a child of God. Let him eat like a mensch. And the father again listened and said, oh, we found you a place to eat, and he put him in the main dining room. And again, this is that lesson of treating every person. That you don't harm another person who's created in the image of God. He may not look like you, he may not smell like you. No matter. He's created in the image of God. A few weeks later, the 17-year-old boy is riding on a mountain bike and goes flying and hits himself head first. And the doctors did not think he was going to survive this fall, and he was bleeding in his brain, and they didn't think he was going to make it. If he was going to make it, he would be a vegetable. And the bottom line is, he walked out of this unscathed. That in fact, Rav Biederman writes that when they were back in Eretz Yisrael, right now, this month, Bar Cheshvan, they redid the scans, and the doctors could not believe that this was the same head, that they're looking at 2 scans. You would not see that he was affected in any way. Stuck a tatsum unafet. That act of chesed that he did, mamish saved himself from this disaster. A lot of things that you can learn. And a lot. You can learn the concept of chesed, great, the concept of stucca, the many stories. What I want us to learn from the story is how important it is. Now, we don't do things in order to save ourselves. Let's focus in on just what it means to save a human being, just what it means to treat somebody with honor and respect. That's the lesson we have to learn. The Birkas Mordechai then comes and turns it on its head. And Mordechai, Rabbi Zrachi, says, you know what? That's not the only reason why Hashem went out of his way to write Avram Alida Yitzchak, to make sure that no one would have any doubt they looked exactly alike, to stop the pain of Avram and Sarah from all the scoffing. There's something else much deeper going on here, and that is, he says, Ava Medhi, 36, Kilolo, Banoshal, Avravino, Olavushato, Dogim Khan. It's not that we're really worried about Avravino's honor. Kanlo Nasekaranes, Kadeshi, Stompiotem, Shalmalizim. That's not why we want to quiet these people. Karov Lomar, we could say, Ki Achbale, Chokma, Leitzanur, Hamushat, Yadual Nachon, Kaimi, Divrayem, Uma, Pratla, Leitzanur, Murkenet, Mikol Tochen. Even they knew what they were saying was a bunch of, you know, emptiness. Ha'emesi, ki avar avinu mutag ma'od haya me'etzem ha'tofa'a, ki hino nosei l'piyoteim sh'leitzanim. You know what bothered Avraham Avinu more? That people could be so low as to talk like this. Ko'ev haya ma'od ma'od et sivlam sh'lotam yitzurei enosh. What bothered him was that fact that people created in the image of God could stoop so low to talk about other people. Shidardiru kokach. Akilo hirgishu aflo b'sivlam shalahem, that they weren't even thinking straight. And this, panav, this is lo liboshet atzmit el bon pkiyah, elokoi vayat etzmit darduritam. What was bothering Avraham Avinu? Not what they were saying about him. He wasn't concerned about himself. He was concerned about these people. How could people say things like this? How could people be so low like this? And therefore, in order to prevent Avraham Avinu et Hatzara Nora, in order to prevent Avraham Avinu from the painful sight of having to see scoffers, to having to listen to them, Hashem quieted them down by making Avraham Avinu look like Yitzhak Avinu. Not for Avraham's sake in terms of his personal pain, but his personal pain of a whole different level. The personal pain of an Avraham Avinu, the personal pain that we have to learn from a person like Rabbi Tzimachlis, that I'm in pain to see such types of people in this world. I want to help such people. I want to rehabilitate such people. That is why Kadosh Baruch Hu had to go out of its way to make this miracle that they look exactly alike, to save that pain from Avraham Avinu. That's the type of level that we need to aspire to. So, Rabbosai, if we just summarize what we've seen till now, and then we'll end with one final idea. A medrash, which seems to be such a simple medrash. Oh, is it so deep? And we've just scratched the surface, obviously, my friend. This medrash is teaching us something so profound. It's teaching us a mirror into a whole world view. It's about being reticent to grow. It's about, whether it's through scoffing, whether it's through mockery, whether it's through not opening ourselves up to the lessons that we have, not being able to be conscious of Hashem at every step of the way, whatever aspect this is, we want to be like those, like Tzanei Ador. I mean, I have to grow from this? You mean I have to be impressed by this? No, that means I'm going to move out of my comfort zone. That means I have to change. I don't want to change. I don't want to rock any boats. How we have to break out of that? How we have to break down those walls? How we have to be open? How we have to, as part of a Jew, part of a growing person, to always say, what can I learn? What can I grow? What can I integrate? And to have that mindset every time we go to a shir, every time we learn. Why is this medrash here? Torah is a Torah of Emes. We want to be truthful. Yes, but it's more than that. It's for the sake of Avraham Avinu, again on two levels. The sake of Avraham Avinu for his own pain, and how careful we have to be that everyone is created in the image of God. How careful we have to be in the sensitivity of every single person. And the pain of Avraham Avinu on the flip side, how he couldn't even handle that there were such people like this in the world, that Hashem had to silence them, because their being was painful for Avraham Avinu to be able to see. We know that there are four levels of learning. There are Ayin Panim LaTorah, 70 ways of learning any pasuk, but there are four major approaches of Paradis, Pshat, Remez, Drash, and Sod, and this pasuk is no exception. Of Gedalia Shur and the Yorga Dayahu, as well as the Mesil Spovava, Rav Eisenberger, on the next page, look at this pasuk from a whole different level. And they bring down that we know that Avraham Avinu's Mida is a Mida of Chesed, a Mida of kindness. And that was coming specifically out of the love of Hashem. And Yitzchak Avinu's Mida is a Mida of Gevura, a strength that was coming out of Yira, out of awe. Explains his Fasemes, that what we're learning here is that Elo Todos Yitzchak Ben Avraham, Yitzchak is the son of Avraham, Yitzchak's Gevura, Yitzchak's Yira, Yitzchak's awe, is coming from, is the son of, is the result of the love of Avraham. Avraham olidat Yitzchak, Avraham gave birth to Yitzchak. One is impacting the other. Yira and Ava together, and that's what Yaakov Avinu represents, is MS, is the way to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that we have to understand that that Yitzchak Avinu is not coming in a vacuum. That Yitzchak Avinu's Avoda is the child of Avraham Avinu, of Avraham Avinu's love. And this, notes of Sils Bavava, was what the late Tzanei Ador were saying. They were saying is that Yitzchak Avinu is not the product of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu is Ava, is love. How could a Yitzchak Avinu, how could a person of Gvura come from an Avraham Avinu? Obviously, Avimelech. Obviously, Avimelech is his father. And what does Avimelech represent? Avimelech represents a mindset of you do things for your own good. And that's the Yira of Yitzchak Avinu. His Yira, his awe is that, you know, I'm afraid of doing something wrong because I may get punished. And that's what Avimelech is coming from, right? Avimelech is told, you know what, don't touch this woman. She's a married woman. Okay, I won't touch her. It's all about, what do I gain from it? It's, as we we begin with, it's the Esav mentality later on of, you know, Hinei Anochi Alech Lamod, Lama Lizeh Bechara, why do I need to, the firstborn has all these laws, if I don't keep them, I'm going to die. It's all about what's in it for me. That's what the late Sanai Hador were saying, that obviously that Yitzchak Avinu couldn't come from an Avram Avinu, because Avram is love, and Yitzchak is what? Yitzchak is Gevura, he's Yura. It must be coming from Avimelech that you're afraid to do something. That was the mindset of Avimelech, because you may get hurt. They don't understand that there's a higher level of Yura, and that's Yura's Harovimus, and that comes from Ahava, that comes from love. That if you love someone so much, you don't want to go against their words because you'll hurt them, you'll hurt the relationship, you'll disappoint them. They couldn't understand there's a higher level of Yira. They didn't understand that Yitzchak Avinu is coming from a higher place, that place of mamish being so in love with God. And the Yira, that awe, is coming from that Ava, it's coming from that love. Yira is not just afraid of what I'm going to get punished if I do this or don't do this. The Yira is coming from Ava, it's coming from love. I love you so much, Hashem. The next logical step is, I don't want to do anything that's going to go against you. That was Yitzhak Avinu's personality. Yitzhak is the Ola Tamima. He is the, you know, one who couldn't leave Eretz Yisrael. His whole life was about being connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the model for us in Yitzchak Avinu. The Yira, the awe of Avinu Malkeinu. He's my father, and therefore he's my king, and I would never want to disobey him. And that's the idea in this week's Parsha in 45, that Avra Avinu's wells that he dug were closed up. There's no more Ava left. Comes along Yitzchak Avinu and redigs the wells. Vayikra lem Shemos k'Shemos Hashekar lem Aviv, and renames them the same wells, to show you that the well of love and the well of awe come together. That's a synthesis. And Ela told us Yitzchak ben Avraham. Who is the Toldos? Who is the progeny of Yitzchak son of Avraham? It's a Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu is the perfect synthesis of the Ava and the Yira together, and that's what they didn't understand. Perhaps one more nekuda on this is what the Orgel Dayahu notes in 39, is that the late Sanai Ador says, Yitzchak name means chok, means laughter. It must be the laughter of Avimelech, Plishtim are known, B'motzav Leshim Lo Yachav, that they're known, the laughter of Leitzanos, of mockery, by Shimshon. The Plishtim came, and they took Shimshon, Litzachek, in order to make fun of him, Sachek Lanu. They thought that if Yitzchak Avinu is coming from Schok, it's coming from laughter, it must be, he's coming from Avimelech, this laughter of fun, this laughter of mockery. What they didn't understand is that, no, this simcha is a simcha that comes from Yira. It's a simcha of Ani Yereti Mitoch Simchati, the Simchati Mitoch Yereti. That simcha is coming from the idea of Shlemos. Simcha of Yitzchak, the schalk of Yitzchak, is wholeness. And wholeness can only come when you stand with an awareness of standing in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. When these late Sanai Hador are saying that Avimelech gave birth to Yitzchak, it's not just physically. They really believe that the nekuda of Yitzchak must be from an Avimelech. It can't be from an Avraham Avinu. It's not his personality. And the answer is no. That Ava and Yira are intertwined. That the schok of Yitzchak is coming from the Yira aspect, from the Shlemus aspect, from the whole aspect, and it's nothing to do with Avimelech. And that's what we need to understand in our lives, my friends, as our final point. There is no Hebrew word for fun. The Hebrew word for fun in Eretz Yisrael, the kids say, I want to have kef. Kef, being fun, is Arabic. There's no Hebrew word. Because real fun is recognizing that I can have a good time, I can have simcha, but it's a simcha with an understanding that I can never escape from being in front of Hashem. I can never escape that I can, you know, be off sometimes. I'm never off. I'm always immediately fnei Hashem. And I can enjoy, and I can, you know, be able to have pleasures. I elevate them. I bring them, I say a bracha over them. I say, my rabbi masecha. It's a simcha that comes with yira. That is the message of this medrash. That it's simcha of leksanos, of emptiness. Yitzchak doesn't come from Avimelech, sorry. Yitzchak comes from an Avraham Avinu. It comes from a very deep place of connection to Hashem. And what Yitzchak Avinu is teaching us, that yes, there's hope, yes, there's laughter, but it's a laughter of shlemus, of wholeness. It's a laughter of yira. It's a recognition that at every moment, we're amida lifnei hamelech, we're standing in front of the king. One small medrash is, wow, how always I have to grow. I always have to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there with me. And when I realize that my whole life is dedicated to being able to enjoy this world with a sensitivity, with a finger on the pulse of Amida Lifnei HaMelech, that I'm standing in front of the king.